are listening to The Spot, a BYU Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about here at BYU Idaho. Today's hosts are Dal Araujo, Daniel Allen, and myself, Blake Michael. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. So welcome, everyone. Today, our episode is set to be talking about what we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks, which was some of our favorite shows as kids. And mind you, we'll be talking a little bit today about some like old favorites, as well as some revamps of older favorites. Maybe aren't as great.
Love the revamps of old favorites.
You said it.
I don't know if I love it, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, you're not going to make them go away, so.
I mean, the dream is that if I yell loud enough, somehow, maybe Disney will start to listen, but, you know.
I have doubts about that.
Here's the thing. Let's cut this to the chase. No more like waiting around, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first topic on our agenda is the most recent, just in case there are any others in the past, but the most recent Mulan live action.
And goodness.
I'll preface with this. The number one reason why I have some reservation with watching that is because it was announced that there would be no singing. No singing.
No Mushu.
No Mushu.
Ah!
And I'm like,
take out the soul of the movie? Like, I don't...
It's like, what?
Yeah. Now, so I haven't really been one to watch really any of the live action Disneys, mostly because I just think the whole, I kind of resent like the whole idea in the first place of just like,
that's fair.
Yeah, no, well, I guess like for like, actually, no, I legitimately can't think of, okay, I'll be honest. When I was first hearing about them making a live action Mulan, I was actually a little bit excited because I was curious to see how they would like handle like potentially like pretty heavy parts of the animated movie, like say for example the whole avalanche scene, because I was just thinking like
the village.
Oh yeah. And but you know, when I was imagining a live action reimagining, I was imagining the plot of Mulan.
Right.
But the biggest issue with how they did the live-action Mulan is they just ignored a big sum of what made Mulan Mulan.
And to be honest, everything that I've heard about Mulan, and full disclosure, I did not get the chance to watch this. I still, at some point, would like to, just to, I don't know, experience whatever that experience it is. And so far, I've heard negative things. All right, like I'm not advocating like I think it's going to be amazing. No, not that at all. But I do feel like I almost want to see it just so I can legitimately criticize it. Like, does that make sense? Like,
no, I get it. That was like the reason why I watched it yesterday, was because I wanted to have specific qualms. You know, I didn't want to be a guy just bemoaning the idea of the live actions in general without any kind of backup for it. I wanted to have a specific thing to say, and so I took notes through all 2 hours of watching it yesterday, and let's see, we have 7 pages of notes with about a little less than 4,000 words.
How big are you writing here?
I mean, it's like, it's all in like Calibri, like size 11 font.
It's, oh my goodness gracious. Single space or double? I shouldn't even be asking.
No, yeah, no. Well, I mean, it's the default, so it's like 1.5 or whatever.
That is, I have to admit, that's absolutely amazing. So, what if initially we just talk about what our thoughts were beforehand, and then we can hear your synopsis of how it was for you actually watching it. Dal, did you get to watch it?
Yes, I did watch it, and hear my thoughts.
Okay, before we get into, like, what were your pre-thoughts? Like, going into it, what were you expecting? What were you thinking?
My pre-thoughts were, I didn't have much of a high expectation because I thought, and I'm by no means, I'm a musical person. I'm not in love with musicals at all. However,
yeah, I'm safe.
There are certain things that when you grow up watching, is just what they are. It's like, it would be as if somebody wanted to redo Winnie the Pooh without the Pooh, you know, without him.
Yeah, it's, like trying to make him into like an actual like grizzly bear or something like that. Yeah,
it would, you know. So that's how it felt like for me, you know. So prior to watching it, that's what I thought. I was like, you know,
they took the soul out of it. What is the point in the really to be watching it?
It's always hard to. It's a transition that it's always hard to go from like a cartoon to like real live action stuff, no matter what. Like, and that's across the board. It's not just Disney. It's any other thing. Like,
that's true.
Like Avatar. Let's not talk about it because we pretend like it doesn't exist. But if you
watch, we're totally going to talk about it later. That's definitely coming up later.
Yeah. Anyway, so that movie was rough, you know?
Yeah.
And many other movies, it's just hard, right?
Yeah. I feel like the right idea to take when it comes to doing a live action is to consider how can we evoke the same spirit as the original. Like, that's the reason why I think the Maleficent movie kind of works. Because, well, I was just going to say, like, it winds up tackling a different side of this familiar IP, you know? And because, like, it kind of, like, fleshes it out a little bit, like, it makes it so it's worth watching. Because it's not just, hey, here's just, like, a blurry version of your childhood memories that, you know, just isn't really as good and you maybe just want to watch the one time and that's it. Like, I think, really, they should be making kind of more like a Wicked approach in that, like, did you ever listen to that musical or watch it or anything?
Oh, yes. I love Wicked.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea of just sort of like turning the idea on its head and sort of like twisting it in a way that it gives the original more value rather than just
throwing it away.
Yeah.
I would be content to see a live-action remake where they simply did this. Beauty and the Beast is a pretty good example. I felt like they did a pretty good job of keeping the soul of that movie, in spite of the fact that there are things that I like better in the original Beauty and the Beast. Like, for a live-action remake, I felt like they did pretty well. And that there's plenty of criticisms for that. I can see on your face, you're like, and I get it. Like, I definitely, walking into it, was pretty, I don't know. But I found it to be all right. Like, I didn't hate it. I've been less impressed with what I've seen of the newer live-action remakes than, say, Beauty and the Beast. I feel like something like Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, they're already real people. They didn't have anything really that was super out there for a live action film.
Right.
Mulan, you get a little more into some of the out there stuff though, I think.
I mean,
and because I feel like making that transition is difficult, there might be a need to expose something in a different way. Like, okay, I'm gonna give this, we're talking about Mulan, so if you haven't watched Mulan, the live action, most recent by Disney, you might want to be careful because there might be some spoilers.
Yeah, if you care to watch it at all, it's probably going to all get spoiled here. Mostly there is some spoiler alerts. Yeah. It's not worth it, though, I'm just going to say. If you're going to, like, not listen to this because you don't want to get spoiled, don't worry about it. You actually don't really want to be watching it in the first place. If I'm really going to say, I don't know.
I didn't hate it, but I also didn't
feel like I I fully hated it.
2 hours of my life.
Yes.
You know? And here's why I didn't hate it. I thought that the plot started okay for what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, I can see where this is kind of going. You know, I kind of know. But they introduced that new character, the witch,
mm-hmm.
which right off the bat, I was like, okay, if this is a movie about a strong female character overcoming her difficulties, proving her worth, whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
There's no need for us to add a second female character that would bring and try to build this weird bridge between the two of them when you yeah. know right off the bat that the second female character was going to betray the bad guy immediately. As soon as she spared Mulan's life, I'm like, she's gonna turn.
See, what I personally wanted was kind of like a screen slaver moment. From Incredibles 2, which I guess spoilers for that. I thought it would be more interesting if it turned out that, like, she basically, like, overtook both the Emperor and, her boss, Bori Khan. Because she had that power. Like, there was, like, a line right at the beginning where she was just like, I could, like, you know, rip your heart out or just tear you into shreds. And, like, she basically, like, displayed throughout the movie that she was capable of doing that. But then
they never tapped that, and that's my problem.
Like, they never tapped that. Yes, exactly.
They introduced this huge, super powerful character, and then they, like, psych.
Yeah, no, they killed her off in the most... So, Daniel, basically what happened... So there's, like, this scene where the main villain... shoots an arrow at Mulan, who's, like, off in the distance, like, in the field or whatever, just kind of, like, running.
Super far, by the way.
But, yeah, so anyway, Bori Khan, you know, he, like, shoots an arrow out to Mulan, and, you know, it seems like, oh, well, Mulan is gonna get hit. But then the witch, like, turns into a bird, or turns into a hawk, and goes and freaking, like... puts herself in the way of the arrow and then just dies.
So they set you up with a huge bad guy. Like, not just like, oh, they're a bad guy, but like a huge, overpowered, crazy bad guy. Then they never tapped the bad guy's full potential and killed them in a way that didn't make sense.
Yeah, and really, it just didn't make... Well, so the witch was like kind of like the henchman to Bori Khan. And Bori Khan, you know, his big thing was just like a, oh yeah, you'll never be accepted, like talking to the witch, just like, you'll never be accepted, but, you know, in my kingdom, you'll at least be, like, treated as a dog with a home, you know, like, I don't know.
Awkward.
Yeah.
It's the self-sabotaging for me, you know, that really kind of, like, upset me on that character. And like, one, I did think that introducing that character was absolutely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were going to, then at least like make her be a good character, you know, like,
right,
like give me this, like, this witch is super powerful.
Yeah, when I said like give her like a screen slaver moment, like basically have her like overcome everyone and become like the major villain. Like, that would have been far more interesting.
100%.
And not to mention, witches, like, that's entirely a thing that's, like, within European folklore, not Chinese folklore. And really, there's so many elements. Like, I was, like, watching this video after I finished the movie, because I was like, I can't just sit in my own thoughts. I have to, like, hear someone else talk about this. And so I was watching this Chinese lady.
Can't wrap my head around this by myself.
Right. And so, like, one lady
I will not suffer alone.
So this one Chinese lady was actually, like, walking through everything on by herself. There was, like, a whole bunch of great bits. Like, so say, for example, on that family sword, you know how there was, like, the loyal, brave, true. First off, that is not something that would be on like an actual Chinese sword. Like, they would have like an actual phrase, not just random words.
Yeah.
And she every single time, like, there was like the loyal, brave, true on like a sword or anything like that. She was saying like, that's basically like the FBI motto. Like, it's essentially fidelity, bravery, integrity, loyal, brave, true. Those are exactly the same. And so every single time she would like bring up the sword, it's like, oh, and there's the FBI sword.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And also, like, throughout the movie, they keep talking about how Mulan is, like, really adept at using her chi. And chi isn't like a magic force. It's, like, just, like, your energy. And mm-hmm. then they kept saying that, like, chi isn't for young girls. It is for strong warriors. And she was like, that is not how chi is. Like, everyone has chi. It's not like specific to warriors. That is ridiculous.
I feel like they were, and I heard and I've read some places that they wanted to make the movie a little bit more like historically accurate or whatever.
They failed.
Like, okay, listen, okay.
They terribly failed.
You're gonna remove Mushu, then just full send it on a historical documentary. don't tell me. Don't put some witch.
No, the thing is, I think it could work, like, because it actually was a little bit like Chinese folklore, and the fact that, so, like, pretty much, so, you know how in, like, the Odyssey, you know, it's a historical sort of story, but it's got, like, these sort of fantastical elements. The actual, like, Ballad of Mulan totally could have worked to have mystical elements about it, too. It could have, like, really having it be side by side between, like, historical events and, like, mystical elements really could work. It just didn't mesh because they only had American dudes on the team, and so everything seemed super European, which didn't work.
I feel like it was a halfway, too. Like, the desire was there, but then mm-hmm. they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
So it was, like, a half terribly done job.
Yeah,
and here's why I didn't hate it, mm-hmm. and I mean, will I watch this movie again?
No.
But I didn't hate it because I will say that the photography was amazing. The colors were like really like popping on that movie. I feel like they did a good job on that. Like the hue and everything, the contrast, that first fight scene. Well, I guess there's only one fight scene that she has with the witch.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that, the color of that.
Oh, ground. The scene where she like turns from like the fake boy version of herself to Mulan.
Exactly. That scene, I was like, wow, the imagery in this, it's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it is visually striking, I will say. However, the thing that takes away from that scene immediately for me is that after she, you know, manages to survive, like, the shuriken, like, in her chest or whatever, then she's just like, oh, well, guess I'm gonna get rid of all of my armor, and I'm gonna take my hair down, and so just like, well, hang on, now your hair is in your face, so you can't even fight properly. Secondly, you took off your armor! Like, I get it, this is supposed to be a metaphorical moment, but taking off your armor, you're making yourself more vulnerable, dude!
So I want to ask something about this then for you two, about something that's very important to me, and that's the action in a film. How was the action in this? Did they do a good job with that?
See, like, there were moments that were like impressive, but most of them were just stupid.
At times it was good. I feel like there was a fight scene between her and the guy that was gonna be General.
Oh, you talking Bori Khan?
No, the main villain? Mulan and the guy that there is.
Oh,
like
you're talking the love interest that none of us ever bothered to learn the name of. Yeah.
Yes. So I'm like, okay, you guys are going to remove the actual guy that makes the love story and then add the new character. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, bro. Anyways, that fight scene between the two of them, I thought was good. Really well done. Really good rehearsed.
I think the thing that killed me. So one of my biggest qualms was that Mulan was talented from the time that she's a little girl. Like, we were introduced to her with her, like, chasing a chicken, and then, like, you know, child Mulan just, like, chasing that chicken, like, on top of, like, the roof, like, for, like, the little city. And anyway, there's, like, this point where, like, the chicken, like, jumps off of, like, this gigantic, you know, like, probably 30-foot tall roof or something like that. And then, like, the chicken, like, goes into its pen. And that's why she was chasing it in the first place. And anyway, Mulan then just freaking jumps off this, off the roof, but using, like, some, like, crazy technique with, like, the bow staff or whatever, she was able to make it down, like, no sweat. And that was her at, like, 10. So basically it's suggesting, like, she's just, like, crazy good already. She's just born with innate power. And that kind of takes away the character development in terms of her, like, physicality of everything. You know, she's if she's woman, already amazing,
then what kind of stretch is it that she learned and grew into the soldier she became?
Exactly. And that, like, really took away a lot of what made it a cool movie, like, in the animated version.
Is that, that's, you know, interesting.
She was able to, you know, overcome the difficulties to become this strong warrior rather than, like, oh yeah, she was already a strong warrior, but, you know, girls aren't supposed to be warriors, so, but yeah, I don't know. it very much made her not like other girls rather than, like, you know, a girl, like,
this
that,
is
like,
the girl, any girl can do what she did, like, she, anyone can, this, she's not the every woman anymore, she's the special person already.
Exactly, and because of that, it takes away a lot of the punch of the movie and honestly makes it a lot more, I don't know, it's a lot more try-hard feminist, to be honest.
And that's the problem, I feel like. And I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anti-feminism. I think no. It's a great movement at its roots and what it really stands for, instead of, like, I feel like some people call hating on men feminism, that, like, that's not, yeah, feminism, okay? Yeah, you need to go study and educate yourself. I'm all about creating movies and art forms where you have, like, a strong female character,
definitely,
but I hate when they do it, like, when she has to be really mean and, like, a bad person, you know? Yeah, like, if you're a woman then you have to be, I'm like, okay, hey, just so I think and sometimes I feel like they try too hard to, like, shove it down our throat, and that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, there is no need for a dude. Like, at the end of the day, I don't regret watching it. I won't watch it again. And I do think that a lot of things could have done better. And it's just, and the truth is, it might, even if they had Mushu, maybe I wouldn't have liked it either. Because that's, yeah, that's my thing with Aladdin. Like, I think from the live actions, recent ones that they have done, Aladdin might be the one that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
you still don't really want to rewatch it.
It's still not the cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, I would rewatch it, but it's just, why do we have to make live action of cartoons, you know?
No, yeah. It that's really fair. Does kind of take away something special from it. And it's not just the fact that it's animated that it's special. It's just, like, it has, like, the Disney animated movies really just have, like, specific elements that just make them work. And for whatever reason, the live actions just don't have that charm for one reason or another. And I say for whatever reason because I think it's different depending upon which one.
Oh, and I think if you look closely at, like, the structure of those movies, it's not only the structure of the film that works so well, but also the really big ability to use your willing suspension of disbelief when you have an animated film. And so you have a lot of really charming things that happen that in a live action film would be really hard to accept.
Yeah.
Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with that. There's a lot of things you can do in an animated film that you just cannot do in a live action film. And I think for that exact reason, a lot of the new Disney movies and especially the remakes have been very try hard in a lot of ways. If they have a political message, it's very try hard. If they have anything they're trying to do that they want to focus on at all, it becomes very try hard.
Yeah, because you have the original to compare it to, any difference that you're going to put in the live action is going to be blatantly obvious. Because we're constantly in our minds comparing what we're watching to what we've watched countless times over.
And I think it's interesting to take a look at these films and be like, okay, what would I have thought had I not seen the original, right? And it, for a lot of them, I still would have been like, eh, it was okay.
Yeah.
And that hurts a little bit because I think that they are accomplished enough filmmakers and storytellers that they should be able to do something that you would like to watch regardless.
It's because of that reason, though, that I think that it's not just because of the fact that they're live action that it doesn't work. You know?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it will never work. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
It's a difficult task, no doubt.
Uh-huh.
And it's just... But in I again, maybe I'm not a film person, so I also don't know. I'm sure a lot of stuff go into this, right?
Yeah.
It's difficult. Nonetheless, it's difficult. But, and I think, here's what I think it could be one of the keys to make remakes good and live actions good.
Yeah.
And you guys can disagree with me on this if you want.
Okay.
If we think about Jumanji, for example, original Jumanji, we all watched when we were kids, you know.
Yeah.
Classic. Has one of the best actors that we have ever seen. He's a great guy.
You're talking The Rock?
No, the original one.
Oh, you're talking Robin Williams. I was just going to say, like, are you kidding me? Are you going to call The Rock one of the greatest actors of our history? Just like,
what? You don't think so, Blake? What? Like, his acting blows me away, man. It's so good. That what?
No, I fully am with you with Robin Williams.
You have Robin Williams, right, in this movie that it's not only old, but it's a classic. You mm-hmm. have seen it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you saw it when you were too young and you were terrified of it. And then 10 years later, 15, however long, 20, they did a remake. And here's why I think that the remake, the one with like The Rock and Kevin Hart, Jack Black, who is a king. Here's why I think it was such a hit. Because while it was like a remake, they build an entire different story off of it. Like the concepts were still there. You were sucked into this game and you would only make it back to your normal life if you win the game, and there was you know you could really die, and they got the key ideas and then created like a new transformed story. And I think that that's why it was a hit. Because if they had to just wanted to remake it for the sake of remaking it, I think it would have flopped.
No, I definitely agree, because it's very much along like that same sort of lines of like the Maleficent movie and Wicked. You know, you can't just, you know, do the same thing and expect different results, you know?
Yeah. That's
the definition of insanity. But, you know, if you have, like, something a little bit different to be able to twist things up and make things more interesting, you know, there's a chance that it's going to really hit new audiences in an interesting way.
Well, I think what worked so well with this one in part was that instead of taking it from the top and remaking, they essentially turned it into a sequel. And the game is magical enough that it updates itself to our time, which makes it both relatable and, for people who have already seen it, you know, the original, nostalgic, right?
Yeah.
You have this same sort of feel, like you were talking about, Dal, you have the same sort of, like, mechanics and mechanisms in the movie, mm-hmm. but then it's adapted itself the way we expect the magical Jumanji game to do into now a video game and then further still. And it's really, really fascinating to me, because that was the perfect way to go about that. And if you look at it, it's also a genre shift. I mean, the first one had some humor. It wasn't without humor, but it was a lot more action-y than the remake was. A lot more intense. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. A lot more intense.
I don't even know how to compare them, because really, I mean, for one thing, it's difficult for me to, because obviously the revamp, I guess, is, you know, fresher in my mind, while when it comes to the original Jumanji, I mostly think to myself, oh yeah, Robin Williams is great in that. I remember that weird scene where he winds up coming out from the woods and Then there's like the siblings. I don't know. I think I mostly liked how time worked in that movie, and the fact that like when they completed the game, then shoot, what are their characters even? Peter and the lady who winds up like becoming like a soothsayer or something. They like get brought back in time when they finish the game.
Why don't we move on to some of our nostalgia favorites here?
Yeah, since we're bringing up Jumanji and talking about things that we only kind of remember from childhood.
Hopefully we're not talking about any science or, you know, math, because those are things that I only kind of remember.
Oh, no. I think, why don't we start with Avatar The Last Airbender?
Sure.
I know Dal is going to have some stuff to say on this one.
Just where to begin? There, I want to say this again for all of our podcast listeners.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't watched Avatar The Last Airbender, it's
do yourself available a favor
on Netflix, and please watch this show. It's a 20-minute show. You can, you know, watch a few episodes a day, one episode a day. It's not like overwhelming. It is a 110% family friendly show. You don't have to worry about bad words. You don't have to worry about profanity, any kind of like sex, nudity, all out of the window.
Yeah. What, since it was on Nickelodeon, so, you know.
100% amazing show.
Also, there are probably going to be spoilers, so we can put a timestamp down below to tell you when spoilers are over. If you don't want to hear spoilers about Avatar The Last Airbender and haven't seen it, we highly, highly recommend watching it. It is so good.
There's many, many reasons why one should watch Avatar The Last Airbender, because I feel like this show approaches so many important topics, you know, not just, it's not the just a show for the sake of entertainment. There's so much more that goes into it. Like, we talk about characters' development and like trauma. Like, just think about Zuko and the trauma that boy went through.
That poor, poor boy.
And then think about Aang having his entire civilization destroyed, or Katara losing her parents at a young age. Or let's talk about immigration, you know, and how old, you know, I love one of my favorite scenes is when Zuko is having that talk with his dad. And let me actually, I'm going to pull it off because I need to quote this. So this is Zuko, who has been long banished by his father and all the trauma that caused. And his like, he's the only, like, was literally abused physically and emotionally by his dad. Carries a huge scar on his face. It was given to him by his father. And he is now major up the courage to confront him and tell him like the truth. And this is what he tells his dad. So he said, growing up, we were taught that the Fire Nation was the greatest civilization in history. And somehow the war was our way of sharing our greatness with the rest of the world. What amazing lie that was. The people of the world are terrified of the Fire Nation. They don't see our greatness. They hate us, and we deserve it. We've created an era of fear in the world. And if we don't want the world to destroy itself, we need to replace it with an era of peace and kindness. Like, how amazing is that? This child, this is a 17-year-old kid coming to that realization that war will never fix anything, right? And that a war is a way to share our greatness. Like, it just amazing.
Good writing.
Good writing. Yeah. So this show talks about a lot of things, you know, and I feel like it's a good way to teach children how to overcome their challenges too, because it really is a journey, you know, from episode one, helping these characters, you know, like realize that. Like, do they need to learn from each other, and that you can coexist with your own differences, you know?
So, and if I might put in a plug for this, this show is so good that I was on vacation with my family around Christmas time. Now, my family does not typically watch cartoons. They're not into it. I was more or less an exception. But I put in Avatar The Last Airbender, and it took maybe 25 to 30 minutes, and my entire family was sitting in front of that show. We watched the entire, all three seasons. That's a 62 hours-ish in like 3 days. My entire family. They had no interest before I turned it on. It's that good. It's that good. I cannot recommend it enough.
And even like, so Avatar has like sophisticated takes on bad guys too. So you know that like there is this bad guy and they're preparing to like, but I don't think that at any point I felt like, I don't know, like forced to hate a certain character, you know? I feel like they did a good job of showing the good and the bad. And
showing the multifaceted in each character. So that way the audience could really make a judgment for themselves.
Exactly. It's not like it's manipulating you. And like, while Aang is like the main character of this show, I personally think that the main character in this show is Zuko. There's no greater character development in this show than Zuko's character development. And his change might as well be the change that changed everything. Like this, the build up between the love and hate with him and Aang up until the point where he helps Aang. And even if you rewatch his last fight scene with his sister, Zuko dominates the bending forms of the other nations and incorporates it in his own bending. Like the way that he moves, it's not always natural to like fire nation bending. So and I think that that's what's so rich about this show too, is the idea of like, we can learn from each other and we can, you know, coexist.
And also, like, the world building in general is so fantastic. And not just in, like, really tiny ways. Like, say, for example, you know, we see a whole bunch of different animals as the series goes on. Like, and for the most part, they're just, like, kind of, like, weird little
mixes
of different animals. Like, the animal that comes to mind right now is, like, turtle ducks.
Mm-hmm. Turtle ducks, platypus bear, etc.
Mm-hmm. Turtle ducks are so cute.
So that part is just kind of cute, but I think one of the great parts, you know, when you actually look at like the different types of bending, like air bending and like fire bending and, you know, earth bending and water bending, all of those are based on a specific type of martial arts in terms of like how their forms are displayed in the animation.
It's super cool, and I like to plug for action. This particular show has some of the most excellent action you will ever see. It is, I mean, at its soul, it's kind of a kung fu thing, but it doesn't feel that way. What it feels like is very, very natural, in spite of the fact that they, you know, essentially are using magic. They're bending the elements to their will with their movements. But, I mean, they took... And they had a guy who was an expert in martial arts, and they said, okay, we want our character to do this thing. What would you do to make that happen? And then he would do it, they would film it, and they would use those stills as references for drawing. Like, it was so well done. It is gorgeous.
Yeah. I feel the polar opposite about Avatar The Last Airbender as I feel for Mulan. Like, it's, you know, night and day in terms of how well it was handled. And mind you, it's an original IP, but it's, I don't know, it's so carefully put together, so carefully crafted, and I don't know, it's good writing all around, and
lovingly made.
Glowing praise.
Here I'm gonna give 6 good reasons for anybody to watch or rewatch Avatar The Last Airbender. And here it goes. Number one, imperialism. It addresses that. It addresses the topic of imperialism. Number two, it talks about corruption in the government in such a simple way that even children can understand. Think about Ba Sing Se. There is no war in Ba Sing Se. Like, there's a full-blown war going on, but there is no war in Ba Sin Se. Number three, class struggles. That part when we're in the Earth, in this, I think, season two, it talks about the difference between classes and, you know, stuff like that. Talks about genocide. Talk about, you know, killing an entire civilization. That's what Aang went through. Talked about the environment. Remember about the lady of the lake that Katara helps clean the river, you know? And then there's propaganda, too. Propaganda, I guess. So there's a lot of good themes, and they're so well put that it's not like I'm shoving it down your face.
Yeah, no, it's tastefully done, and it's not ham-fisted, really.
100%. I guess my last plug for that is we've talked a lot about how deep it is, but you can watch it for the shallow. Don't feel 100%. Like you have to watch it for the deep, because it will be fun no matter what level you're trying to watch it on.
Well, I hate to cut us short, but we're running a little long on time, so from all of us here at The Spot, we'll see you next week. You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were me, Blake Michael, Dal Araujo, and Daniel Allen. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by me, Blake Michael. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music was Finding Happiness by DJ Quads and The Perpetual Ticking of Time by Artificial Music. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media, or visit our website, byuidahoradio.org, and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts, and leave a comment on what you think we should talk about next.